Your employees play a huge role in the performance of your business.
They are the first interaction and the first impression that your client has.
They are the lifeblood of your business.
They will be the major deciding factor of your success or failure.
Stay tuned as we discuss how you can hire reliable employees.
So you're probably thinking, how many employees do I need? What positions do I need? And then what exactly they should do? Eddie.
Yeah.
So how do we determine how many employees we need? Let's do now versus then. I mean, now versus past.
Now? Well, now we do it based on the income that the shop is bringing in, the sales, the quantity of items. We also do projections. Since we've been in business so long, we can project the amount of work that we get per month. So we can kind of see more or less how much hands on deck that we need. Because one thing that we know is the spikes that we have in our industry, and that's when we need the most people.
Yeah. So there's not really a hard, fast line on this right here. At least that we can say exactly right now. When we do get it 100% down, we'll be showing it to you guys. But just think of this right here. If you have someone at the warehouse, you need someone at the warehouse at basically the whole time the warehouse building works. So usually I would start with that and then decide on, depending on how much work you're getting done. But once you get into a facility like ours, it's a little bit easier because we have we know that you generally, when we do $25,000 a week in the actual the rental items, then we know we need four people. And that kind of, we brought it, so it's like every $7,500. Is that right?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, you know. It's basically around $6,000. It's kind of, you need a person to take over from it, of the actual rentals. For you, it might be that, or it might not. It just depends. But you got to start with your base. You have to have someone present. And this is specifically for the warehouse side. For the drivers, I think it's very easy.
It's the easiest.
Yeah, because especially if you're doing a commission model, you just know how long the stuff's going to take. You base it off of your delivery, do some type of percentage that we talked about before. And then realistically, you kind of know exactly how much you're going to spend anyway. And it doesn't really matter so much on the hours. It's just on the spending. So I know on this, we're doing a new system that we're coming out with for our, I call it our version 2 of the commission. On this one right here, we're going to do just not just if what they did in the work, but how they did the work.
Yeah.
And what was important on it. Because as you know, and I know, and hopefully you guys probably don't know because you don't have a post out there, is people, if you only measure how people or what people do, then you always, the how is always going to be up and down. And someone would say they dropped something off, and then Eddie look on the photos, I'm like, yeah, you dropped it off everywhere. It's like they ride by throwing chairs at the side of the thing. But that's something that you can look into. But and the positions recently, was it this year that we went through and wrote out all the positions, what they're supposed to do?
Yeah, it was this year. We had a manager meeting, and everybody brainstormed as part of their homework.
Yeah.
To provide the details of everybody's responsibilities, and that way we can kind of make a booklet, and then when we onboard people, they understand what's expected of them.
Yeah. So you get those specific roles. If you're just starting out, I would just, if you're doing specific warehouse, then obviously they're going to do cleaning. Then you just map out what days they should do what. And I know you're probably thinking stuff comes back different days, but there's a general flow usually where most of the work is done on the weekend. You do a pickup on Monday or the day of, depending on if you're doing bounce houses or any other things you can do. But most of the time doing tents, they're there for the weekend. You pick up, they return, they'll clean, they'll get ready, prep for the next week. And Tina has an interesting fact for us.
The party and event rental industry employs more than 45,000 workers in the U.S.
45,000 workers? Seems pretty low.
Yeah. Well, it says more than 45,000, so it's me saying employs more than two.
Yeah, I guess we both right.
Yeah, right.
We both got facts.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I also saw another interesting fact that said that basically 47% is turnover. So basically almost one in every two people, one person you don't have next year is a turnover. And I think in the party rental space with the seasonality is a lot higher than that. One out of you keep one out of four people every single year.
Yeah, I see that.
The ultimate checklist is here.
All right, guys, we talked about this bad boy. It's totally free, so don't be scared. All you have to do is click the link in the description and download that bad boy, the ultimate checklist. It will help you out with your business, whether you've already been in the business for 5 years, answers a lot of questions, give you a lot of insight on some of the things that me and Xavier have worked very hard and very painful to learn. So click the link in the description and get the ultimate checklist.
The ultimate checklist. Download now. Now that you know what positions are, how much people you should do, what all that stuff, you need to figure out where to actually get these people from. So for us, I know we first started with family and friends.
Yeah.
Actually, the first person we started with was Jesse.
Jesse.
And he was off of Indeed.
Yeah, he was cool.
He was cool, yeah. And then we went from Indeed with family and friends. What's your feelings on family and friends at this point now?
I like it. Because one thing that we know for sure, that they're the ones that'll do more than when most will. Well, at least our family, I know for sure. So many times we've been in the trenches for hours and hours and not eat and keep working and keep working.
Yeah. So that's specifically with family.
Yeah.
Now, friends, you toss up.
Generally, they're like, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's toss up. But also, too, if you're going to do with your family, you need to lay down straight guidelines between the differences and stuff. Because we've had good situation and we had bad situations. Mm-hmm. The only good part is that you're going to keep seeing this person, so you'll be able to redeem, you know, and fix everything if something happens. Or they'll, like, let's give examples. Like, Eddie's sister worked for us. I think Eddie has fired her twice. Well, I think she fired twice and quit once, or one of those. And she's back working with us. But now there's a general understanding of what is supposed to be done, what's the line on everything, and then just the working relationship. Because sometimes things are taken personal from, like, oh, because Eddie's her boss, but Eddie's her younger brother. And she might like, oh, no, I'm big sis. Listen to me. But, like, in this business, you know, he big bro.
Yeah, it's nothing personal. It's business, what I always say.
It's always personal. That's how they feel. Okay, so that's one right there. So, Indeed, I think, is a great one. If you, as long as you're not having any, like, big issues, but, like, you're posting a lot, people think you're scamming. Sometimes they shadow block you. They did that to us.
Yeah, that'll shadow ban. And they don't let you know until you're like, what's going on? Like, we're not getting any candidates. And, like, you get the worst of the worst, too.
Yeah. So the only people, they just sending you random people. And that don't even work. So you have that. Facebook, we did a little bit on there. I think we got, like, one or two applicants. It's been all right. But I don't know if we really, like, focused or to be on it.
Not really. We just kind of threw it out there and said, it is what it is, but.
But it helps out a little bit. But the one area that I think has been the area that we most improving on is our job applicants on the actual website.
No.
Those people who find us, work with us. Some of the people come through, a lot of them I think are overqualified for what we're trying to do. But it's good to see that people are coming through and they know about the business, they understand it.
Yeah.
We've had a couple people in the past who've came through specifically for that. It just works out. But our biggest driver force right now is ZipRecruiter. We've been using ZipRecruiter. You do have to pay for this. It is like a per day paid every time the post is out. Mm-hmm.
So don't forget about it.
Yeah, don't forget about it. You're like, I got all these candidates. And ZipRecruiter's like, we got all your money. So that's kind of like the main areas right there. But reason why we chose ZipRecruiter, because this is how me and Eddie see actually recruiting. We see it as the same exact thing as like recruiting and getting customers. So when you're marketing for customers, marketing for applicants, it's the same process. You are convincing someone to either spend money with you, or you're convincing someone to spend their time with you and you pay them money. It's both of them. So we decided that we're going to start investing more into it, and we're going to put a little bit of money up so we can get better people in the right positions. So that's one way that we've been working on it. I see Tina has another interesting question for us, or statistics.
So I don't have an interesting question, but I do have a statistic. The statistic says that 60% of candidates use online job boards, 56% professional networks, and 50% word of mouth. 48% of businesses say that their number one source for hiring quality candidates is referrals from current employees.
That last one, I've seen that we've gotten some good people from the referrals, and I've seen that usually whoever the referral person is, it's kind of exactly, you're going to get a better version of that, or you're going to get a worse version of that person. But it's always like in the 5% of that person. So if that person was a high performer, then most likely you get another high performer. Like, we have a person that, not even thinking about it until just now, one of our higher performers who just got switched to drivers,
mm-hmm.
he has a brother.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a good chance that that might work out.
Oh, it is a great chance because he's in the military, and you know that they don't play in the military, so I'm pretty sure he's a very well groomed person.
Yeah, and we've had stuff in the past where we had someone specifically try to rope a dope the system, mess the system up, where they tried to say they wasn't working someone else. So it was a lower performing person who was referred another even lower performing person. And that person is on the borderline of getting kicked out. And you know what I'm talking about. You know it's like a situation.
Yeah, I know how it goes. But yeah, I just part of the business that you kind of interact in those kind of employees. So it is what it is.
Yeah. So when you're getting referrals from your employees, just make sure that it matters as much who the person that you're actually getting the referral to as much as actually who the person's coming in. Because birds of a feather
flock together. Important thing you're going to need is next insurance. Because, you know, we didn't learn everything that we learned by accident. We actually had some bad hires. But if it wasn't for next insurance, we would be in deep trouble and have to pay for all these damages ourselves. But thanks for next for taking care of us.
Check the links in the description. And basically every single incident we've ever had has been from employees. So make sure you get next insurance to cover yourself. So we have to make sure now that we're conducting effective interviews. Now, a couple ways that we do this is before the interview process, we have a couple preliminary questions that we ask. So we're going to go to Eddie, and I'm going to name off the actual individual ones. Eddie's going to name off why. And each one needs to have a story behind them, everything, but we don't know if we're going to dive into that yet. But the number one thing, the person has to have a driver's license. Why is that, Eddie?
It's very important because A, I could pretend to be anybody, and then B, driver's license will allow you to get on the street and drive one of our company vehicles. Even if you're in the warehouse, there's times that, you know, emergency happens, and we'll just say John didn't show up to work, and we need somebody to step up and jump in there and help us out. And a lot of times, if the warehouse guys don't have a driver's license, they can't do that.
Yeah, and also, too, it just shows that you have part of your life together, too. Yeah. Usually people with driver's license, you have to figure something out, do something. Another one is that we have is a bank
account. Very, very important, because if you can't get a bank account, usually it's red flags going up, just like what's going on here. Did you get it very negative and said, all right, I'm done with this, and
did you rob the bank
or what's going on? Because most jobs now, they do direct deposit. That's what we do. If need be, we can like Zelle and stuff like that, but we don't do like the Cash App and all other stuff because, man, it's just a big headache. So bank account is like number one to have.
Yeah, and the next one is a reliable transportation, and this doesn't have to be you have a car.
Yeah, just any kind of means of transportation. Because one thing that we found is that individuals that want to get to work will find a way to get to work. So we got plenty of people that take the bus here. You know, even ask for other people for rides and stuff like that. Just the main thing is that they have the ability to get to the location on the time that they need to be there.
Yeah, because we've seen too many people say who live like a mile away from the workplace and be like, I can't get to work. Uber prices are high.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, have you thought about walking? Oh, walking? No. Why would I walk? Like, why would you miss out on $200 a day? That's the bigger question. But
yeah,
to each his own. So the next one is, which I would say, which I almost just forgot for a second. So do you remember what it was, Eddie?
Which one?
The next one, the fourth one.
The fourth one?
Yeah.
The cell phone?
Yes.
Yes.
That right there is huge because we have people telling us, hey, I don't got no cell phone, so I didn't know to come in today. It's like, always convenient. Did not come in the days that you want to take the days off. No one gave me a call. Like, you don't have a cell phone. I have a beeper. Like, so that's like huge. Like all jokes aside, if they don't have these four things, you should really look at who you're hiring. I know some of you guys are saying, well, like, they have those four things in a felon. Like, well, you might have to take some of those people sometimes, depending on what they do. But realistically, like, they don't have those four things, and I don't see how realistically they can work with you in a long way. It always ends up bad in some way.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you kind of want to have these things, these kind of four plus five things preliminary before you ask any questions. And then when we go into, like, the other questions inside the interview, we have a special set of questions that Eddie says to everybody, but we're gonna talk about it in another section. We're gonna go deep into that in the culture side. But what are some other questions that you might want to ask some of the employees, Eddie?
Another thing is like how's their attendance been? And I know they're gonna say, "Oh, it's perfect." I don't think I've had one person say, "Oh, it's so so."
Yeah, I got three kids.
attendance. Then also I ask, why did you leave your previous employer?
Yeah.
And kind of see what the answers are.
Yeah, and a good follow-up question to that when they tell you is, "What would your employer, say about you?"
Oh yeah,
good, good one. And this you can go through, be checking them and stuff like that. But I really believe that, like, if you don't have these things set up, you're just not gonna find good people.
No,
and you might find one or two. We've not had some stuff set up, and you know, you'll find a couple of diamonds out there that'll just get thrown out there to you, and you'll catch them. But sometimes, if you're going to have A players don't generally like to be with C, D players. And sometimes not even B players. So if you're trying to build up your everything, you really need to work on that. Anything else, Eddie?
That's pretty much it. Just make a checklist of all these things. That way when you're there, you're consistently getting the answers.
Yeah. But you forgot the most important thing.
What's that?
You always talk about. If they're not 15 minutes, they're not. What was the thing you said?
Oh, yeah. That's my good old saying. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late, don't even show up. That's my motto.
Yeah, because everything in this industry is going to base off of time, and you're going to really need people to be dependable and show up. And if someone can't show up 15 minutes early, then they probably would be more likely to show up 15 minutes late, because it only gets worse from the first day. Your interview will be the best version of them that you get.
Yeah.
So Tina has interesting statistics for us.
On average, employers go through 2 to 3 interview rounds before choosing a candidate.
So if you interview 3 people and you're like, "There's no one who's going to be able to work for me," then you're going to you should know that you need to keep interviewing. Generally, I think in our case, you might have to talk to 20 people before you get one person to walk in the door. And then that one, they're not walking the door, but they'll actually be hired.
Yeah.
And half those people might not show up.
Oh, yeah.
And then that one person that comes in there, as you've seen from the statistics we have earlier, you have basically a 50% chance of them being able to stay and be involved in the company. And, you know, so that's, like, huge.
Yeah.
So now that you got your candidates, you've chosen a couple of them, you're like, "Oh, this guy looks good. He's nice, healthy, and strong. He don't have no face tattoos." So that you kind of got to that person. Now we're going to do some background checks, some and actually the driver records and stuff.
Yes. Well,
that we're going to do. So I'll tell you what we kind of done in the past. We're kind of looking, like Eddie going to tell you what we did in the past. But right now we're kind of looking for a faster alternative for doing the background checks. But what do we usually do in the past for background checks?
Well, in the past, luckily I had some friends that were like bounty hunters and had access to like pull up backgrounds and stuff like that. So I just shoot them, "Hey, this guy looks pretty good. Can you take a look into him and see what pulls up?" And then he'll relay the information to me and send me screenshots. So that's what I used to do back then. Now I think we're going to be moving towards kind of getting out of asking for favors to do that. And now I just have like a software that we can just plug in and type up the information so they can pull up the record and see what they find.
Yeah, we'll put that in their file. We've recently, as we started new, because once you start hiring people and you start putting people on your actual commercial vehicle insurance, on your auto insurance, you're going to see that like some people's records are like terrible. Some people double your costs on there. And I know a couple of these people, I just realized that we need to take off our insurance that we just let go too. So we're going to get that done. But so we use, it's called MVD. We'll put a sheet up of an example of someone's right here. That it'll say like any accidents, who was at fault, kind of any things, if they have any points on their record, all that stuff right there. And that's how we use to determine if we're going to bring them on too as well. Like we just hired a new person and before we hired them, we did the check. And then we were like, "Okay, is this good?" Then Eddie looked at it. "Okay, the person don't have a record. He's good to go." Then we sent them through. This is how you keep your insurance from being crazy high, because we've had insurance close to like $5,000. And I'm like, who do people have on their record?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to avoid younger people, right?
Yeah, I think it has age has to do with it. Then just how long the driver's license has been in the individual's possession, and tickets and stuff like that, traffic infractions.
Yeah. And this is a good way to see how people drive, kind of what situation stuff they're in, if they've been in any accidents, anything like that. So that works out really well for us. So now that you got the backgrounds back, like he's good to go. he hasn't killed nobody in the last 3 weeks or whatever. He haven't done anything crazy. You know, he's like, it's not related to somebody, something crazy or whatever. He doesn't have 55 tickets.
Yeah.
And then 65 at fault crashes. He doesn't have a bunny next to his name because he's running from the cops. So you got to there. So now you need to actually see, okay, now the person is capable of doing the work. They have a track record that they can do similar work. Now, are they a culture fit? So, like, we have a couple of different tools and resources we use to figure that out.
Yeah. So one of the ones that I personally do, probably someone's seen it somewhere, because I saw it somewhere, and actually has worked very well, is ask them what kind of animal they want to be. And everyone's like, what kind of animal? It always throws them off. They're like, never been asked that before. I'm like, yes, what kind of animal will you be if you were able to be an animal? And the number one answer is lion.
Number one.
Number one.
What's a lion? Mean
king of the jungle. Dun, 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 dun. So basically the first answer is what they want to be perceived as.
Beach whale.
So they, yeah. I got one of those too. That was my first. I was like, what? So I've gotten sloth. all sorts of animals that they tell me they want to be. I'm like, okay, cool. And then after that, I was like, well, now what if that animal's not available? And then they give me another one. And then generally the second one is actually what the type of person that they are. And then I'll say, that's not available. What would you be? And then the last one's what they think people think of them. So yeah, I'll ask them that. They'll give me like an array of animals, and I'll kind of put that as like a profile on them, what their perception is of themselves.
And then we started using Test Gorilla. There's a link down in the description if you want to get $75 Amazon gift card for that.
Yes.
So Test Gorilla is something, a service that we started using to be able to analyze the employees, and you can compare them against each other. You can create culture matches for the actual individual company and for the actual position. It is a little bit, I don't want to say pricey, but if you're trying to do like a whole bunch, it's going to be kind of expensive.
No.
But the base one is like for a whole year, it's like $300, mm-hmm. Which is not too bad. You're looking at like $25 or $30 or something.
Wait,
yeah. $25 or so a month or something. So that's not too bad.
That's not bad. Especially that thing is, I think that thing's a game changer, because one of the things that we've always, one thing that we've said before is like everybody thinks differently. And to have the power to understand like how that individual thinks and like what their tendencies are, how they would fit best with your culture, you know, the position that they're going to be working on is very powerful. Just recently, I think it was like 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, we did that. And it really opened up my eyes on a lot of the individuals. And some of the things it says do not do, I'm like, oh, I've been doing that, and I feel bad. Because, you know, those individuals have tendencies, and it'll give you all this good information. Like, it's gold. It's well worth the $25 a month.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Yeah.
We got to see different sides of people who might portray us. Like, I didn't even sound, you said the animal stuff. It could be people who might present themselves as this, but are really this.
Exactly.
And then you kind of get to see down the depth and how to handle them, how to go through the process. And it's not really like this person's bad on a lot of the, like, the this test or the aptitude test, of those. Those are usually just, here's what the person is, and this is kind of what motivates that person, and this is what you should do. In a lot of different scenarios. Then there's a couple other ones on there that was like motivation. So it tells you what the customer is, what the applicant is motivated by.
Mm-hmm.
There was one on there about the culture, which you go choose, like, you have to rank like 60 or something words together from the top to bottom of which one's the most important to you.
Yeah.
And then and a couple of them were like the same. And then the applicant. So the applicant would come in and then rank themselves towards those two as well. And they would do a kind of a blind. And then you'll be able to see how much they match. And they have like so many more different options. Like, we haven't even like touched any of the stuff. But most of the stuff we're doing is like basic line at the very top. And it's still like, some of the stuff is like dead on.
I saw this in, I think I've mentioned it before, like the Book of Principles. And it says like how powerful this tool is, and it's very powerful. It's really eye opening, and even like I read the stuff on me and on Xavier. No one else can read it, but just us two. But it's
on me,
pretty, yeah.
You I took didn't, one. I didn't take one.
You didn't take one. And somebody must have took it. But anyways, like, it's very accurate.
It's my AI.
And yeah, right. Probably your AI did it for you. You're like, I want a perfect score, so give me that. But it's very accurate in the information that it has, and all it is tools. It doesn't replace the actual interview, because you have to go through that whole process. But you put everything together and kind of make a profile to better fit. One of the things I told my managers like last week is, if we have a whale, we can't expect the whale to swim in the desert. We need to put it in an environment that it's going to thrive and do its best. And these tools basically do that. It helps you identify the type of person they are and how to get them in a position to succeed in your company.
Yeah. But let's get into the rental rundowns. On this one here, we're going to be tackling your FAQs.
The first question I have is, how much should I pay for labor to help with deliveries and pickup or to clean my items?
So I think we talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
This is going to be a wide range because, like, you're in the backwoods of Georgia or Texas or mm-hmm. Montana, you might get a walkaway minimum wage. Who knows?
Yeah.
Closer you are to the cities, which closer you are to the money, it goes a little higher. So I'm going to give you what we do in a couple different markets, and then I'll let Eddie explain why we kind of do these things based on it. So here in this market, you're really between like a 12 to, depending on what they're doing, how much experience they have, you more like 12 to 17 or something like that. That's kind of the general point. The easier you make the job, the less you have to pay for the person. And then Chicago, like basic minimum wage, I think was $13 or something like that.
Yeah,
so pretty like, high. Yeah, so you're already... You're already there. And if you notice, like I think someone like the Starbucks, when I went there one time, I swear it said people was making like $18, $20. But then I looked at the cost of living there, it's like three times more expensive than here. I could be wrong, but like from what I've seen, it was like I don't know how you can afford to do anything in the city.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple sister companies up there doing very well. But yeah, just like you said, just the price on saying it's not a direct, like, this is how much it needs to be. You just gotta look at your operations as a whole and see, like, how much could you do without, if that makes sense? Because we got to narrow down to a certain percentage of what we're trying to make on profitability. Because one thing is, we know you could, if you wanted to, just not, clean the equipment, and then a certain percentage of people that complain, you just give them a discount on it, and that would basically covers the employee for cleaning the items. So it's just things you have to kind of figure out with your company, like what percentage you're going to have to set aside for specific tasks and duties to be done on the equipment or delivering. But I think for the most part, we've decided for delivering, it would be about 40% of the delivery cost only.
Yeah, and delivery, so if you don't like a delivery driver, then we just do straight commission.
Yeah.
They eat what they kill. We just line stuff up for them to kill. They kill it, they eat it. That's straight easy for that one. It was just a delivery cost. Warehouse, it gets a little more trickier just because it's a lot more other factors you have to key in. But for the most part, as we talked about earlier, if you know kind of what the person's going to be doing and you kind of can see the value off of it, and then we have a system that we have currently which tells how much each person makes percentage-wise based on the salary that they get, so how much we get back in return.
Yeah.
So we get our money back, basically.
Yeah, I like that one. Before, we were doing it just you clean this, you get these points, and we're just looking at these points. But we never weighed the employees' pay against that. So somebody can work, let's say 10 hours, and they'll hit that number. But somebody that comes in there and works for 4 hours, they would never be able to hit that number. But in reality, the 4 hours person would bring more value most of the time that we found, because they're trying to hit that number. And so we can easily see, like, whoa, this person is way more valuable because they can produce more work than the other person that's just like, well, I got 10 hours, so I'll take my sweet time and just hit that number very easily.
Yeah, because it's more not just about how long you're here, but how efficient and effective you are when you are here.
Yeah.
So if you're here for 1 hour, if you give us the best hour possible, then that works out for us. Yeah, so that's kind of how we do that.
Exactly.
So next question.
The next question is, how do I keep employees motivated to maintain high performance?
You pay them more. Actually, we've actually seen the inverse in that. Mm. The more you pay someone does not make people more motivated.
No.
I think you need to find people who actually care about what you're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's part of the hiring process. You see what makes them tick. A lot of things, believe it or not, everyone makes memes about this, but like people like throw pizza parties and they're like, all right, and everybody's happy and like, yeah, we're motivated. That actually works, believe it or not. Giving like bonuses, incentivizing certain behaviors or certain results that you wish to acquire, that works very good.
Yeah, I think from especially with the commission on the drivers.
Yeah,
like. Even though that has reduced our cost, I think down by like 30-something%.
Yeah.
But the drivers have been more motivated. They've been faster to do the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we get exactly what we care about. Because the problem with paying someone specifically by the hour is that most times you actually don't care about how long the thing takes. You only care about how many times it gets done or how well it gets done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of intuitive. It kind of does not work together because most times you're telling people, hey, I think I should pay you more if you spend more time on it. But if you don't care about someone spending more time on it, then, you know, it really doesn't, it's an inverse relationship on it. And now this is very difficult to do on lots of different positions, but we're started with a driver because that's the one we have the most data on. We were able to take the delivery fee, work it out exactly how much it's worth to us, where do we want our numbers at, what was important to us, and that was easier. We're starting to gather enough data, which one day, I'm pretty sure sometime this year, I'll sit down, analyze, come up with some system, show Eddie, and then we'll go through exactly tweaking it down to make sure it works how we're supposed to. Yeah. Then that would be some type of kind of kill what you got. So we're never in a lose-win situation. If they win, we win. The more you do across the board.
So yeah.
I think that really like helps like us out and them out, and it keeps you motivated because they know if they do more work, they're going to get paid more. And I know probably a couple of you guys have ever went to work and like, oh, I'm just going to be chilling today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one thing that we have. And I specifically did this because when I used to work at the car dealership, we had a big board and we made it a competition. And one thing that specifically in our warehouse, what I did, I put this big board in the walkway where you cannot go any other way without passing this bad boy. And so when you come and clock in, you have to pass this board. And everybody that I have a camera there as well, everybody that passes by, they always look to the left because that's where that board's at, and they check what their scores are. So internally, they want to be the best, and it's like a competition. And also, I had a thing last month that I told the top driver and the top warehouse person on their scores. I would take them out on the nice steak dinner. So little things like that you can always do, but you know, if you make it kind of like a fun competition wise, you're going to see which ones are your true performers and they're going to outshine.
But let's go ahead and go through a little quick recap. So I want to make sure you guys kind of got this down. So when you start off, you need to figure out what position you're going to hire for, what exactly they're going to do, and then kind of how many you need. Mm-hmm. That's what you kind of need to start off with. The next thing is where are you going to source these from? Are they going to be family, friends? Is it going to be from Indeed? You know, from your own website or whatever? You need to lock that spot down. Next thing, when you get into conducting interviews, like Eddie talked about, and we both talked about, you have prelim questions, and then you go through the interview process to figure out who the person is and kind of if they might fit with you or if you have, you know, if they can actually do the work.
Yeah.
From there. So next thing will be actually going through checking their backgrounds. Basically, this is like your confirmation. Let me check to make sure all my stuff is the same. This would be your checking references, checking their background, checking their driver's record, you know, checking to see if they cook correctly, whatever it is, you know, where the breakfast, what time they show, whatever, just go, you double check it. And this is, even, you might have already made the decision. Excuse me. So Eddie might have been like, oh, I want to hire this person. Then we do the check. And then they pass the check and then go through the next process. And then after that, we'll be just, okay, this person can do the job. This person can do all the, meet all the requirements. Now, is this person actually a fit to work in our company? And then using all the stuff we talked about will kind of help you position yourself to be able to really get a good employee. And really, guys, just don't give up. You're not going to get the perfect employer on the first one. If you do, leave a comment down below. Let me know who. And then send me his email so we can hire him. but if you didn't, just keep trying. It's okay. You're going to go through tons of mistakes, tons of bad hires. But eventually, you get a system together. Anything else, Eddie?
That's pretty much it. You said it's a numbers game. Just keep on hiring and replacing, replenishing, and eventually, once you get enough experience, you're gonna be able to like get like a keen sense, or have a system that just automatically filters out the ones that are gonna be the ones, the candidates that'll work perfect for your business.
Yeah, But thank you guys for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salceda.
And we are the Rental Boys. And we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
Watch one of these videos and subscribe too.